While we're still in an attitude of worship and recognition that God is here right now, we welcome our brother Tobin Hopper. He's going to bring the message this morning. Father, bless Tobin as he shares from his heart, as he gives out what you have given him. Make this conduit, Lord, absolutely free from any distraction, that he would be able to deliver exactly as you brought to him, so that we might hear from you. We pray it in Jesus' mighty name. Welcome, Tobin.
Cheers, Dallas. Thank you, worship team. And just before I get started, I just want to say thank you to the elders as well for the whole month of January. Who was blessed in January with some different people speaking up here? It's been amazing. So welcome to church this morning. My name's Tobin. If you don't know me, I'm part of the staff here. Get to lead in the young adults and a few different areas as well, which has been amazing. But it's been a good few years, maybe two and a half years since I've been up here to share. I don't enjoy coming up here. I get nervous, probably like most of you all as well. But I'm excited as well. But I just wanted to explain before I get started as well why it's been a while for me. Obviously, all of you know there was those times of lockdown that we had a few years ago. And so we couldn't do ministry in person like we were used to doing. So I've sort of found myself in this space of not being able to do stuff, not being able to host, not being able to run events, catch up with people face to face. So it really threw me off, and I thought I knew who God was. I thought I knew my identity in him. But I had to relearn those things. I had to come into his presence again, to rest in him. And in that time, Salome, she gave me one of her guitars. And I never really touched a guitar before, so I was pretty bad to start with, but I was pretty keen to learn a few songs. And I did that, but it wasn't enough. So then I started playing some worship songs. And that's when things really started to click for me. And I was starting to be able to find my identity in God again. So we did lots of home church, like I'm sure a lot of you guys did. And it was such a rich time with my family. We were able to do mini church at home, so we would do singing. Isaiah would preach, Isaiah would get up and pray and shake his Bible in the air. Like a lot of you know him, he's so passionate. It's so exciting to see that come out of him. But it was good. We got to just share the word with each other in our homes, and it was just such a rich time for us. And even Isaiah, I've already spoken about him a few times already, but we were just worshiping, and he just starts singing. And I was like, Isaiah, what's this song from? Is it from school or kids' church? Or he's like, no, Dad, it's from my heart. It's from my heart. So we wrote it down, and I'm sure a few of you have heard me play it. But it was a real time of coming back to basics, understanding who God was, understanding his love for us. But this morning, I want to bring glory to God through the scripture, so that you will be compelled to search for him more and more, so that the Spirit dwelling more fully and consistently in your hearts. Why? So that you would continue to live your lives for Jesus at the center, serving him at every opportunity. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that we're able to be here together as your children, as your family, God, and your sort of community, that we can love on each other in this space, that we can encourage one another, that we can bring glory to you, Jesus, that we can worship you. It's not us, it's you, God, that we can be here in your presence. And like this morning, the Holy Spirit has already moved. So I can pray that, Lord, as I speak, it's not me speaking, but it's your Holy Spirit speaking through me. And God, I just pray for each and everyone in this room, that Lord, that the Holy Spirit will impress on them things that will challenge them, things that will bring them closer to you, Jesus, things that will bring them more fully in line with who you are, with your will for their lives and your path for them. So God, we just thank you, Holy Spirit, for who you are. Thank you for your presence here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So, what I'm speaking about this morning, my title, I guess, is All My Hope is in Jesus. That's the sort of the first part of what I want to speak about today. All my hope is in Jesus. For apart from him, without him, I am nothing. I've been changed by him, and I once ran away from him. I've seen his love shine through people around me in so many different ways, and their witness drawing me back to Jesus. By his love, by his death on the cross, for the payment of my sin, he bore it for me so that I might repent and be brought back into relationship with him, for him only. Made new again by the Holy Spirit indwelling in me to be called a child of God. Pure, holy, righteous, blameless in his sight. Not for my glory, but for his. Amen. For I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. All my hope is in Jesus. Today, I also want to speak about living in the light as children of God, not relying on our own strength, but by living by the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So, all my hope is in Jesus. Therefore, I want to live in the Spirit. So, what I want to just give you a little three-point explanation of what I want to be speaking about today, just so you know where I'm going. So, if I get lost, or if you get lost, we know where we're heading. So, first point, like I've already said, all my hope is in Jesus. Two, as I've mentioned, living in the Spirit. And three, seeing the fruit of the Spirit working in our lives, living out our faith. So, does that make sense to us? Are we good to go? Are we ready to dive in? I've got a lot of scripture in the first half of my message this morning. So, if you've got your Bibles, grab them out. If not, that is fine. I've got them on the screen here. And just as we get into it, I have underlined a few things. So that's not from the Bible, the underline, but as we all do, we highlight or underline different things that we want to really focus on, really stand out, something that really speaks to us. So just so you know, the underline parts are my doing, okay? So 1 John 1 is where we're starting today, from verses 5 to 10. Verse 5, it says, "This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declare to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. But if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." Like we heard this morning when Dave shared the communion. So because of Jesus' great act of love, the death on the cross, we have moved from death to life and we desire to share in fellowship with God. We must be in the light as God is in the light. And this comes after repentance, right? After understanding the cost, understanding the power of the blood is what brings us back into right relationship with Jesus and each other. Let's go on. Verse 8. "If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. If we claim we have not sinned, we are calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in his hearts." All right, honesty moment here. Who's sinned before? Okay, good. I'm glad some people were listening. We've all sinned, right? We've all been there. And more fully, who's felt the weight, the burden of their sin before? Yeah, like there's a guilt that comes over us. So what we're called to do is go straight back to Jesus, confess it, deal with it. He promises to forgive it and cleanse us. He wants us to be back in right relationship. So don't hold back your sin. Don't let it fester. It will do us no good. We've got to give it to him. We've got to let go. And we can't read these verses here without being challenged of our own current position. We know we need a Savior to save us from ourselves. We fall short. For we all can realize that we aren't perfect. But if we truly have been changed by the truth of Jesus and the Holy Spirit renewing every part of our being, we need to be moving forward in our faith. We cannot become stagnant. As we continue in our lives, it will be more and more evident who we belong to. Do we truly know him? It's a hard question. But one, we need to keep continuing to ask ourselves to know that we are his. How do we know him? How do we know if we know him? On the screens is 1 John 2:3-14. It'll be the next little section. And it explains how we know him. And we can be sure that we know him if we obey his commands. If someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commands, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. But those who obey God's word truly show how completely they love him. This is how we know we are living in him. Those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new commandment for you. Rather, it is an old one you have heard from the very beginning. This old command, to love one another, is the same message you heard before. Yet, it is also new. Jesus lived the truth of this commandment, and you also are living it. For the darkness is disappearing, and the true light is already shining. So, if we are children of God, if that's who we confess to be, born again, saved by grace, we need to obey his commands. This is the evidence that we truly know him. How? By living our lives like Jesus did. How? By truly loving one another. How? Not by us, but through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is wanting to shine through us. Amen? Let's continue on. Verse 9. If anyone claims, I am living in the light, but hates a fellow believer, that person is still living in darkness. Anyone who loves a fellow believer is living in the light and does not cause others to stumble. But anyone who hates a fellow believer is still living and walking in darkness. Such a person does not know the way to go, having been blinded by the darkness. Are we getting this? Is this sort of, have we heard this before, sinking in? As Christians, we can easily forget, you know, we can say, yeah, I'm a Christian. Like I can, you know, I'm a good person. Or, yeah, I know Jesus. I know what he did for me. Yeah, I guess I'll forgive them. It might take me a long time or maybe I won't at all. But the call here is to not judge. We're called to have grace for one another, just as Jesus does for us. That's when we know the Spirit is working, right? Verse 12. I'm writing to you who are God's children because your sins have been forgiven through Jesus. I am writing to you who are mature in the faith because you know Christ who existed from the beginning. I am writing to you who are young in your faith because you had, I've lost my spot. You have won your battle with the evil one. I have writing to you who are God's children because you know the Father. I have written to you who are mature in the faith because you know Christ, who existed from the beginning. I have written to you who are young in the faith. God's word lives in your hearts, and you have won your battle with the evil one. That's a beautiful bit of scripture, and it repeats itself, and it just encourages us to get around each other. As we, children of God, are all at different stages of our faith journey, all in different spots. And as you know, we're designed for community. We're designed to work better together, to encourage each other when we fall, to pick each other up when we stumble, to spur each other on, to do good things that bring glory to God, and for that reason alone. But it also brings us back to a space of joy that only God can give us by renewing us, by living in the Spirit, coming back into the light where we belong. We cannot do this on our own. All my hope is in Jesus. God, I need your help. All my hope is in Jesus. We need the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to continue to transform us. All my hope is in Jesus. Can we see we cannot do this life on our own? It has to be all our hope is in Jesus. And these scriptures, they're here. They're here to remind us that we need Jesus. They show us where we fall short, right? They show us that we need to come back to repentance again, that we fall short and that we need Jesus and we need to come back to the foot of the cross. And we cannot live in the light without first acknowledging our sin, admitting that we fall short, to then be brought back into right relationship with Jesus. It is then that we can live in the light and walk in the Spirit. All my hope is in Jesus. All my hope is in Jesus. So there is some really helpful scriptures as well that talk about living in the light and actually what that means and how to do that. So we're going to move on to Ephesians and look at some helpful guidelines there. Ephesians 5 from verses 1 to 9. Living in the light. Imitate God, therefore, in everything that you do, because you are his children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of God, of Christ, and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of this world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Don't participate in the things these people do. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of the light, for this light within you, the Holy Spirit, produces only what is good, right, and true. So we're called to live in the light. Live a life of love. Follow Jesus. Do what he did. We know how bad the darkness is and how powerful it can be. We know that we can slip back into sin. As it says in this passage right here, these types of people will not inherit the kingdom. Only those living in the light will. Because of the light within you, what God has placed there, the Holy Spirit working within you to renew you to be more and more like Jesus. And what it produces is good and right and true. So it says, let us imitate God in everything that we do. This is powerful scripture. If we read this, if we hear it, if we let it soak in, how can we deny it? Walk in the Spirit, walk in the light, as it is good and right and true. But let's be real honest. Like, that's easier said than done, yeah? We can feel like we can't do it anymore. We can feel like we've lost hope. Like we aren't good enough. And we, you know, we get tired and frustrated. Can I remind you just one more time? Maybe a few more times. All my hope is in Jesus. Amen. It says in Zechariah 4:6, it is not by force or by strength, but by the Spirit, says the Lord of heaven's armies. We can't do this in our own strength, but by the Holy Spirit. Let's read it again. Let it sink in. It is not by force nor by strength, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. All my hope is in Jesus, not my own strength, but in His. Colossians 4, 5 and 6 says, live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. So when we're speaking in the Spirit, it will be gracious and gentle. We'll know when it's not, right? Obviously, there are many passages that explain how we should speak. But it can't be from our own frustrations or our own anger or from whatever that can come out of us. But we need to realign ourselves daily, right, by the Spirit. We need to know, how do we know if we are living in the Spirit or living in the flesh? So this is the point where we sort of move on to, like we've already been talking about, living in the Spirit. The next verse I want to pick up is Galatians 5, 16 to 26. Living by the Spirit's power. Can we see where I'm going with this? Is this sinking in? Am I making sense? Verse 16 says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division. That's a big one at the moment, isn't it? Division. Envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. So it's not limited to. He covers it off by saying, and other sins like these. So that encapsulates everything. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, sometimes we tend to skip over these passages because we go, we know. But there's things in there that could at least make us feel a little bit uncomfortable or uneasy or bringing up the past even. But I'm just making sure that it's fairly obvious what it is when we're not living in the Spirit.
So let's move on. We want to move on to verse 22, which is talking about the fruit of the Spirit and what that is. So again, the Holy Spirit, not us, produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. Let's leave it at the cross. Let's move on in the Spirit. And when we speak, we need to realize when we are walking in the Spirit, we speak out of obedience to the truth, not our own thoughts of ideas. We need to speak only what the Spirit is asking us to speak. And when we do, we will be speaking with love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We cannot walk in the Spirit if we are mixed up in sin. But hear me here. I'm not saying that we're going to be sin-free from this point onwards. That's not what I'm saying. There's grace for when we fall. But that's what we're aiming for, right? We want to be like Jesus. We're aiming for perfection. We want to run the race. We want to run it well. So when we are mixed up in sin, the Spirit cannot do his work in us. You know, if that's a repeated, a habitual sin that we're falling into, we need to break that off. We need to get out of it. Or is the sin showing through? These things, hostility, lust, anger, division, or the fruits of the Spirit there? Are we becoming more like Jesus? Is his sacrifice for us, his resurrection, his death and resurrection, is it still powerful? Serious stuff that we're talking about. Are we willing to be brought back to a place of repentance, regardless of how long we've called ourselves a Christian? Are we willing to make Jesus the King of our hearts again? Are we living in the light, in the Spirit, for the kingdom, for his glory? Not for us, right? Because when we're made new by Jesus, all we want is to shine for him. We are called to live a holy and pure life for the sake of the kingdom. This is so important, guys. All right, I'm going to have a little break from the scriptures and share a little story. There's been a lot there, but if you speak to Liz, I've already taken out about 20. So, but they're powerful. I had a new neighbour move in about 3 or 4 months ago. Lovely family, kids are teenagers, and yeah, just we get along, and it's real nice. And the guy, the dad, we always speak in over the fence if I'm watering or he's working out the back or whatever. We end up talking over the fence sometimes for hours. And Liz is like, where has he gone? So we start talking about the craziness of the world right now and everything that's going on. You know, and he's talking about how, you know, the best way to raise his teenage kids and trying to put in restrictions so that they're not exposed to things. And, you know, like, he's just trying to do the best that he can. And he's just, you know, really frustrated that things seem to be getting worse and worse. They don't seem to be getting better, even though we're smarter and we're, you know, more advanced and technology and this and that. You know, all those sorts of thoughts that, well, no. Like, and he realizes, he said, like, it's not getting better, it's getting worse. And I said, well, I agree. But the one thing I hold on to, and I said this, all my hope is in Jesus. And he said, oh, well, Tobin, we got some talking to do. And he did. He sort of started to open up and he explained about how he grew up in the Anglican church, the real traditional one over East, and how he was a choir boy and wore the robe. And I'm not sure of the tradition, but he talked about the swinging of the candle or the smoke and all those different things. And he said, there's too many rules, too many regulations, too many hypocrites. So he said, I decided to walk away from it all. I'm just trying my best to be a good person. So I said, well, mate, I hate religion too. And he said, what? He said, I hate religion, but I love Jesus. All the rules and the regulations that you speak of hold us back from being able to know who Jesus truly is and being free from those things and walking in the Holy Spirit. And we kept talking and we talked about lots of different things. I talked about what Jesus did on the cross, and that when we come to him and we seek him and we can't do it on our own anymore, that we can repent and come back to him. And he was taking it all in, and I'm sure it'll be an ongoing conversation. And I love having these conversations with people. And more than anything, it makes me realize the need the world has for more of Jesus. And God desires to know us intimately. And when we make him king of our hearts, we want to live holy and pure lives, not just trying to be a good person. If we follow Jesus, this is what our heart, or our, because of the Holy Spirit, should want us to do more than anything else, to live holy and pure lives. Not for us, for him, for his name's sake. So let's look at some scripture about living holy. 1 Peter 1, verses 13 and 14. It says, so prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better then, but now you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. And how powerful is that song that we sang this morning? Holy, holy, holy is our Lord and God Almighty. You know, like, I want to be like him. I want to, you know, be able to praise him and be holy and be in his presence and not worry about people around me or not be concerned with the current climate that we're in, but to know that he's called me to live a holy and pure life. A few weeks ago, myself and Liz and some of the young adults, we went to this worship night out in the hills of Bedforddale. And it was just organized by a worship group, essentially. It's not affiliated with any church, but they just say, come. Worship. Ask God if you're meant to be here in this place. Ask God if this is what he's calling you to be doing tonight. And so it was about 3 hours of worship. I don't know how many songs there were, but there was different points in the night where people would jump up and share. So there was people that were hosting and then they would invite others to come up. And there was this moment where this young lady, she jumped up and grabbed the mic and just said this verse again. You know, we must be holy because he is holy. And she kept repeating it. We must be holy as he is holy. And it was this real moment in the night where they called us to, before singing the next song, to know that, you know, this is a holy God that we serve. He is pure and mighty and just. And we must be in a place to be able to worship him. So we just had some time of silence, some time just to get our head in the right space. And this lady, she just started calling out, holy, 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 holy. And it was just one of those moments, say, there wasn't a dry eye in the room. I'm tearing up now just thinking about it, you know. And To start with, always in a new place, I seem to have my guard up, and I know that's not a good thing, but I was like, who is this lady just going crazy? But then I realized it was me that needed to come back into his presence. It was me that needed to step back under a holy God and accept that he loves me and that he wants to do a work through me. So 2 Peter 1, 5 to 13, it says, in view of all of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with the generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more you progress in your faith, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among God's people. Where have I lost my spot again? Sorry. Among God's chosen. Cool. God has called and chosen. Sorry. Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Therefore, I will always remind you about these things, even though you already know them and are standing firm in the truth you have been taught. And it is only right that I should keep reminding you as long as you live. So we must grow and mature in our faith. We cannot stand still. We cannot become stagnant. We must ask the Holy Spirit to help us. As children of God, our prayer life must grow. We must continue to fellowship together in worship like we have this morning, in prayer, always encouraging, always building one another up, spurring each other on to do good works God has placed in our lives. All my hope is in Jesus. All my hope is in Jesus. And I've seen this in this place a lot. There's great community here. The one example or two examples that I want to share is on a Tuesday when I'm here in the office, I get to be involved with the HCO, the Food Outreach Ministry. And on the last day that Pastor Craig was with us in that ministry, we had a time of devotion and of just of sharing, and people were just sharing, you know, how this is something that gives them purpose and fulfills them. And Sharon, sorry to point you out here, but to something Sharon said, she said, this is the highlight of my week. This is what I, you know, this is what I'm longing for each and every day. I wish I was back there. This is the place that God has me, where he is using me and he's fulfilling me. And it's a beautiful thing, and I see it with some of the different families where we normally sit over there with our kids. The mums, some of the mums that come together and just love on each other and pray for each other is so precious. And I know there's a lot more than I see, a lot more than I know, but I know God sees it. And he says he will fill us with his Holy Spirit, more of him, less of us. And we want to see the outworking, right? We want to see the outworking of the Spirit in our lives. Has it actually changed us? So I know we're at 11 o'clock already, but what I would love to do is, you know, we've said that all my hope is in Jesus and I want to live in the Spirit, but that calls us to a point where, okay, if we want to live in the Spirit, that means that we got to do something with it. We got to do something about it. And so it's a call to prayer. It's a call to not just be here on a Sunday as our only point of contact with Christian people, our only relationship. It's a call to go out in the week and love on those in our community, those around us, those in our workplaces, those in schools, or even if we go out onto the streets and just love on people in whichever way God has placed on our hearts. So what I'd love to do, just for 5 minutes, is to have time for community. I think this is really important. Like I said again, I don't, like, church here, this is really important that we're here. But it's really important as well to take action beyond a Sunday morning. So I want to have 5 minutes, just 5 minutes. We're going to have a song playing in the background where we have a time to encourage each other, to pray for each other. And this, I want this to happen with someone that you know, someone that you love, someone that you trust, that you can share these things with. And if you need to get something off your chest, to repent or take action, to speak about the things God has placed on your heart and receive prayer for that, that the Spirit will go with you when you go out and do these things that God has called you to. So I know that's sort of something that's maybe a bit uncomfortable, but I'd encourage you just in a minute to find someone that you can spend 5 minutes loving on. Or if you just need to speak something out to that person, let them pray for you, receive it. And if you are new here this morning, or there is no one that you feel comfortable sharing, there will be the elders and the pastoral team up the front here as well. So are we good for that, guys? Does that make sense? Can we do that this morning before we leave this wall, even before we go to get our coffee? I'd love just to spend that time in community. So, yeah, we're going to put a song on now. And if you can just find someone, please do that. Let God really work in your heart this morning. Let him in. Let him transform you and renew you once more. Amen.